Too Aware. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware. Good afternoon and welcome to Aware. How you doing? Hey, this is Lisa Garr. Good to be with you today. So, did you know that the vast majority of love and sex occurs in the brain? Contrary to popular belief, it's actually your brain that decides who's attractive to you, how to get a date, what to do with the feelings that develop on your date, and basically even when to commit. All that is handled in the brain. Your brain is even responsible for how you perform or how you don't perform in the bedroom. So it's fair to say that your healthy brain is the largest and the most sensitive sexual organ in the body. Joining me is Dr. Daniel Amen. He's a clinical neuroscientist, a psychiatrist, and a brain imaging expert. He heads the world-renowned Amen Clinics in Newport Beach, and he has a new book out called Sex and the Brain. When Dr. Amen was on with us before, I was so excited about this book coming out. So welcome back to the show, Dr. Amen.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
I love your book.
Oh, thanks. It's been great fun.
You know what? I love looking at a clinical approach at something that we've taken for granted most of our lives, being an emotional reaction or so forth. You look at the brain. So what exactly does the brain look like when it is sexually aroused?
Well, it looks like you've just taken cocaine.
Oh, wow. What does that look like?
It's why we are so excited about getting sexually aroused. Well, there's an area in the brain, the pleasure centers in the brain, that when you just fall in love or become sexually aroused, lights up. And I always say love is a drug, and that's why we seek it over and over again, even from people who are not good for us or who make us crazy.
Yeah.
Why would a rational person take cocaine or do heroin repeatedly, even though they're losing their families or their job? And it's because it's very powerful and works on these centers in the brain.
So love is as powerful an addiction as cocaine?
Oh, absolutely.
You're kidding.
And I just think,
wow.
Why do people kill their spouses and then kill themselves? It's because falling in love and then getting detached from love is one of the most painful experiences we'll ever have. And it's all based on how this stuff works in our brain.
So when you fall out of love or you get a breakup or some type of heartbreak, it is breaking the addiction to the attachment to the pleasure center in the brain?
Well, it's almost like you are in heroin withdrawal.
Wow.
In fact, many of the symptoms are similar to heroin withdrawal. So you get attached and you just feel good being in the presence of the person that you're in love with, or just the idea that you're going to talk to them later that day. When they go away, either through death or by choice, and we don't want that to happen. Our system is terrible. We don't sleep. We don't eat. Our GI tract becomes hyperactive. We get chest pain. We have trouble breathing. And actually, many of those symptoms are exactly the same symptoms of people who go through heroin withdrawal.
And actually, you stop eating. You know how like you can lose weight from a good breakup?
Right. One of the most effective ways to drop 10 pounds. You know, the problem is you also don't sleep and you get stupid, because the chronic stress is bad for your brain.
So now let me ask you, this pleasure center of the brain, does it decrease as you get older, or the need for the arousal of that pleasure center of the brain, does that diminish as you get older?
Not in a healthy brain. In a healthy brain, the pleasure center still remains high, which means we still love to make love. We still love to be in love and to be connected. We have better judgment, usually.
Now, is a healthy brain a brain that's constantly stimulated and aroused, or is a healthy brain something that's got good fatty tissues and so forth? And what do you mean by healthy brain?
Well, when a brain works right, we love being aroused, but we have better judgment. So we're not just interested in having, for a guy, for example, you know, how many times can I have sex? We begin to think, well, who are we having sex with?
Well, you know,
is this person good for us?
Right.
Is this a smart thing to do rather than just a thing to do?
So you mean a healthy brain from a psychological point of view?
Well, from a physical and a psychological point of view, and what I argue in the book is your brain really is the largest sex organ in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for, and when your brain works right, you tend to be more loving, more thoughtful, more romantic. You are more likely to bring love to you.
Hmm.
When your brain doesn't work right, either through illness or injury or toxic exposure or disease of some sort, you really have trouble being your best self.
Is that what makes dangerous sex more attractive or cheating more attractive? Is it actually set up in the brain like that?
Well, they're different parts of the brain, and when they're off, it can cause some very serious problems for us. So, for example, if we have low activity in the front part of our brain, well, the front part of our brain is the executive part of our brain. It's the boss part of our brain.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's low, we do things to stimulate it, like have an affair. Or we get involved in excitement-seeking behavior. We pick guys that are bad for us because it stimulates us. We're always on edge. But, you know, I mean, they're stimulation junkies, excitement-seeking junkies. One of my patients, he's a motocross driver, and he
mm-hmm.
says he never feels more alive
mm-hmm.
than when he's on the starting line of a race.
Mm-hmm.
But he also, whenever he falls in love, a couple of weeks into it, he starts text messaging the person he just got out of the relationship with. So he's always keeping himself stirred up.
Stimulated.
When I fix that part of his brain, when I stimulate it properly, either with medicine or supplements or however I do it, he doesn't have the need anymore to do those things that ultimately drive him and his partners crazy.
Does that explain the desire for porn? Is that why that's such a huge industry?
Yes, because it's excitement-seeking, and it's naughty. And, you know, doing something a little bit naughty is stimulation. Now, it's interesting. It's much more common for guys than for women.
Why?
And we actually respond to porn differently in our brains, even though there's a study from Georgia where they had both men and women watching porn while they did brain scans on them. And what they found, even though both the men and women said they liked it the same, the emotional center in the brain really lit up in guys and hardly at all lit up in the girls.
Uh-huh.
And when we look at sex addicts in our clinic, it's, you know, nine times out of ten, it's a man. It's not a woman. And so, you know, we're more driven visually and get that excitement about sex. And that doesn't mean men think about sex more than women. If you just think of all the time women are in front of a mirror getting themselves sexy, it's a lot more than a guy.
Well, as I had understood before from Luann Brizendine's book, The Female Brain, is that the emotional center in the female brain is larger than the emotional center in the male brain, because in the male brain it's taken over by the center that houses the testosterone. Is that... Did I get that right?
Well, the limbic part of the brain, or the emotional part of the brain, is larger in women, which is why they're primary caretakers for children and the elderly, and they have a larger nesting instinct than men, and they have a higher incidence of depression. Women get depressed twice as much as men do. And so understanding some of these differences between men and women are really helpful.
Fascinating.
Helping us get along better with each other. You know, guys get caught checking out cute women that walk by all the time.
That's because of their brains?
And, you know, what's fascinating to me, because when I was married a a long time ago. I used to get caught and my wife would be so mad at me. But what I realized is men do not have good peripheral vision. We have good tunnel vision, so we're good at shooting
them. I don't know.
And so when a pretty woman walks by, we have to turn our head in order to check her out. Women have great peripheral vision. So one, they catch us looking. But two is they can totally check out a hot-looking guy, not turn their head, and we have no clue.
How much of that is BS?
No, it's all true.
You're kidding.
No, it's all true.
Sounds like a crock of bull. The ultimate justification by neuroscientists.
Well, it's not a justification. It's just why guys get caught and girls don't.
It is fascinating. Okay, well, that actually, you could look at it that way. So when people take these pills for sexual enhancement, does that stimulate the pleasure center of the brain? Does it do the same thing?
No. What it does when they take Viagra or Cialis or Levitra is it makes the plumbing work better.
Okay.
It boosts blood flow. But one of the most interesting things, if you know your guy has taken Cialis, well, that makes you more lubricated. You're sort of turned on because you know he's going to function better. There is a fascinating study of women who don't enjoy sex have a higher incidence of heart disease. But when we actually looked at why they didn't enjoy sex, more often than not, it was because their partner had premature ejaculation or impotence. So getting your partner to work better actually is a turn on for most women.
So is it safe to say that sex can actually elongate your life?
Oh, no question about that.
Oh.
In fact, in the book, there are 12 lessons. And lesson number one, I call it Methuselah's secret. Methuselah was the oldest living patriarch in the Old Testament. And, what's the secret to longevity? Part of it is having a healthy sex life. Men who have sex 3 times a week have a decreased risk of heart attack and stroke by 50%.
What about women?
We have no medicine that can do that. For women, what's interesting, it's not frequency that's associated with longevity. It's how much they like it.
Right.
And if a woman really likes sex, she's much likely to live longer. And what I tell women, it's like you have to be a good teacher of your partner. Because too often, because of the differences between the male and female brain, women expect their guys to read them. And so they don't ask for what they want directly. And guys are terrible at reading social cues. And we don't have good memories. So a woman, she might even tell her man once what she likes. And when he doesn't do it, well, she's sort of irritated. And I'm like, no. That's not how guys learn. Think about how guys learn to shoot free throws. It's practice. You know, we shoot thousands of them before we develop skill. Or golf. You know, we go to the driving range and hit hundreds of balls before we can develop some skill. It's like you need practice and you need to be a good communicator with how guys learn. They need encouragement and they need clear direction. I really like it when you do this.
Okay. So, by the way, my guest is Dr. Daniel Amen, and his new book is called Sex and the Brain. Now, in your book, you talk about something great called the oh God factor. What is it, the mechanism in the brain that causes us to have this oh God experience?
Isn't that interesting? I mean, you know, you could like call out my name. No, that's, you know, God gets involved when you get excited. It's oh God. Well, why is that? Well, there's actually a neuroscience reason for that. This group out of Finland did brain imaging studies while women were having orgasms. So when they like got to their orgasm, they'd, you know, raise their finger and they'd image them right at that moment. And what they found was an area in the right side of the brain lit up dramatically. It's exactly the same part of the brain that lights up when people have religious or spiritual experiences. And I read that and I went, that's why she cries, oh God, when you make her happy.
Fascinating. That is fascinating.
And there's a lot of crossover between religious experience and sexual experience. You know, why do both use candles? And why is music so important with both? And clearly prayer is important both when she says, please, God, don't stop.
Yeah. All of a sudden, God gets involved. That's so funny. I mean, that is really fascinating. It does stimulate. So it's that same euphoric feeling, or that feeling when you go
right,
into
and you're
that
tapping into that
state.
Same part of the brain that's involved in religious experience. And you know, when you're having an orgasm, I mean, you feel at one with the universe.
Now, I want to go back to when you said that the executive center of the brain, which is the frontal area of the brain, when it's low, you have the desire for excitement, which it could involve cheating or adrenaline or dangerous type of sex. How does that center of the brain become low?
Well, there are lots of reasons. You could have a head injury that affects it. And head injuries are very common in people, and we just don't take them seriously. Most people don't know the brain is the consistency of soft butter.
So when someone gets in a car accident, the last thing they think of is that it's going to destroy their sex life. But
right.
It could.
Right, but it can really impact your frontal lobes. It can happen if you have ADD. People that have attention deficit disorder have low overall activity in the front part of their brain. It happens clearly if you drink too much or you've been exposed to some sort of environmental toxin like paint fumes. So there are lots of ways it can happen.
So alcohol can actually inhibit sexual function? Well,
alcohol can make you stupid. You say something that hurts your wife's feelings, and she might not play with you for a month, especially if she has too much activity in her frontal lobes. Because when they're high, people tend to be rigid and inflexible. They worry. They hold grudges. Things don't go their way. They get upset. And so it's about balance. So too low is a problem. Too high can be a problem as well.
Okay, so let's talk about some things that we can do to create a healthy brain state, even if ADD exists or brain injury and so forth exists. How can you create a healthy sexual brain? Is that right?
Well, it's one of the things. What we do in our clinics, I have 4 clinics around the country, and the one in Southern California is in Newport Beach where I am. And we scan the brain. We actually look at people's brains to go, okay, what's the state of the health of your brain?
Okay.
And then we go after targeting treatments that help it. Now, there are a lot of things people can do. The first thing is protect your brain. You know, wear your seatbelt. Don't hit soccer balls with your head. Don't box. That's stupid. Protect it. Avoid toxic substances, so nicotine, much caffeine. Many of the meds that we prescribe, when we look at them on our brain scans, are really toxic, so you have to be careful with that. Make sure, stay away from marijuana, very bad for your brain, or drugs, or much alcohol. Many people, especially here in Southern California, think that red wine is a health food. And it's not. Daily drinking is really bad for your brain. In fact, there's a new study from Johns Hopkins that says people who drink every day have a smaller brain. And I always say when it comes to the brain, size matters. You do not want to have a smaller brain.
Well, that makes sense because it does dehydrate you, and the brain is, what, 80% water?
80% water. So anything that dehydrates you, like caffeine, is also bad for how your brain works. And you want to get enough sleep because people get less than 7 hours of sleep at night, which is a lot of people. They have lower overall brain function.
Now, can you, does drinking once or twice a week make a difference?
Once or twice a week is fine, but you always have to ask how much and what are the size of the glasses.
Right.
I used to live in Germany where we had 40-ounce beer mugs, and I'm like, okay, how big is the glass that you're drinking? And it's amazing to me. I mean, now as much of a problem as alcohol is, caffeine's a huge problem. So they go, okay, how many cups of coffee do you have? And they go, only 4. And you go, well, how big's the cup? You know, you go to Starbucks and you get the venti size.
Right.
You know, I have 4 shots in it. Well, really what they have is they're having 20 cups a day, and they're telling you 4.
And it's one day. Right. You ever go to – well, if you go to Europe, they're – size of coffee is just a little teeny, like, 4-ounce cup. That if they saw a venti Starbucks, they would fall over.
Right, and it's terrible for brain function. And, and nicotine and caffeine constrict blood vessels. You want the fountain of youth? It's stay away from nicotine and caffeine and alcohol and exercise, because exercise boosts blood flow. All of those other things decrease blood flow, and anything that limits blood flow to an organ prematurely ages the organ.
So now, if you look at Dr. Amen's website, which is amenclinic.com, A-M-E-N, like amen, there are pictures of these scans that he does, and he has one of the largest database of brain scans. There's over 37,000 scans he has in his clinics because he's seen patients from over 62 countries. But when you look at the scan, and they're all these pretty colors, and they have these different names, what would a sexually aroused brain look like? Would it be red in a specific area, or, I mean, how do you know?
Yes, in the pleasure center of the brain, it's an area deep in the brain called the nucleus accumbens. What a name. It lights up when we get aroused. And so then we're motivated. It's sort of a motivation center. We're motivated to then finish the arousal.
So can you also see on these scans if somebody is predisposed to depression or a depressed brain or an ADD brain and these different types of brains?
Yes, that's what we do.
That's what you do.
We treat people who have things like ADD, anxiety, depression, drug abuse, memory problems, and so on. And just in the process of treating a lot of couples, I went, you know, the brain really is the largest sex organ in the body, and people need to know if they want a healthy sex life, they really need to work on having a healthy brain. And, you know, in the process of writing the book, I read lots of books on enhancing sexuality, and I discovered that there's huge mistakes out there.
I was about to ask you. Go ahead.
In that, you know, they give you one formula on how to turn on a woman or how to turn on a guy, you know, and it's soft music and candles and a warm bath and a massage. And that works for one type of brain, but absolutely is terrible for other types of brain. So what we typically think of as a romantic evening is really good if you're with an anxious woman. If you're with a woman that is excitement-seeking, you've totally lost her with the soft music. I mean, you need to get something much more stimulating, Linkin Park or something like that, in order to get her in the mood. And really, if you want to be a master lover, you need to target your approach to the individual person that you're dealing with. You can't have one approach that works for everybody.
That's interesting. Well, what about where they have these different types of herbs or vitamins? I mean, that is like are proven to increase sexual function, like, I don't know, there's like wild ox oat or what? I can't remember the name of it. But have you ever tried any brains on those particular, Gina's checking, producer Gina's checking on what those are. But have you ever had any scans done on people that try different herbs? Or is it always going to be up to the individual brain?
Well, it's up to the individual brain, but there are some things that work for people. Like for women, it's baby powder. The scent of baby powder is the most powerful aphrodisiac. Tell them, but what do women associate to baby powder?
Babies?
Cute little freshly diapered babies. And then unconsciously, they want one. And vaginal blood flow goes up 40% for women who... And that increased vaginal blood flow is a sign of sexual arousal. All of the major men's colognes decreased vaginal blood flow. So I always say, don't waste your money.
they smell like the urine of a predator or something like that. Fascinating.
The Los Angeles Times, when they reviewed my book, called me Machiavellian. It's so about trying to, you know, enhance yourself to get what it is you want. You know, I want to have a great love life.
And, well,
you know, baby powder is part of the ticket.
That's fascinating. I mean, if it's true that actually sex can help prevent heart disease, improve memory, stave off cancer, and boost your immune system, then this is why we would want to have a healthy sex life. Plus, it keeps couples together, and, you know, as long as it's done safe and effectively, it's fun while you're dating. It's just something that is needing to not get to that obsessive place where it becomes unhealthy with the cheating and the dangerous sex and the porn.
Well, then somebody should, you know, in my mind, when you have those kinds of behaviors, somebody should be looking at their brain to go, is this a brain issue? Or is it a behavior issue? And how do you know if you never look? So I think we judge lots and lots of people who've had head injuries or they have a medical illness, and nobody knows because we don't look. I'm really excited because they're going to put the brain imaging cameras that we use in the new state hospital that's dedicated to sexually violent predators up in Coalinga. And it's like, of course we should be studying their brains, because most of these people go home eventually. Don't we want to fix their brain so they're less likely to act badly?
So you can fix that center of the brain and then and have these types of predators released in a healthier state. Now, that is great. I mean, you could have grants and so forth that can really support that program and make it a lot safer of a place for us to live in, because that's a big issue. Let me ask you something about this, like a different note, but what does the brain look like on antidepressants?
Well, if they're the right thing for you, your brain looks better. If they're not the right thing for you, we make people suicidal and homicidal with them.
Wow.
So depression is not one illness. It's a bunch of different illnesses. And all the antidepressants, for the right people, help. And for the wrong people, they're a disaster. And I wrote another book called Healing Anxiety and Depression a couple of years ago, where I talked about seven different kinds of anxiety and depression. So Prozac is perfect for one type and an absolute nightmare for another type.
Wow.
How do you know unless you look? And we have all of these primary care doctors prescribing these very powerful antidepressants, not looking and making a lot of people better.
Yes.
And also a lot of people worse.
Right. Well, yes, most definitely. I'm going to invite listeners to give us a call here, 818-985-5735. You're listening to Lisa Gar. This is The Aware Show, and my guest is Dr. Daniel Amen. We're talking about his latest book, which is called Sex on the Brain. One of Dr. Amen's main motto is change your brain, change your life, which I absolutely love. And if you can get that access to one of his clinics or find out the mapping of your brain, you can actually understand a lot more about your life. I had an incredible experience with, I don't know if you know Dr. Barry Sturman, but I had a brain injury in 99, and he worked through EEG in rebuilding my brain, and he did the imaging with the EEG, which is a different system than you have. But it showed that there was a certain part of my brain that was dormant, and I had a lot of memory loss, short-term memory loss and so forth, and he rebuilt it with EEG, and actually I had gotten pregnant during that time, and so I was getting this EEG treatment, this electroencephalograph treatment, while I was pregnant. So I have this daughter who's just off the charts intelligent, but a challenge at the same time. But it's fascinating the way that, how does that work for you? Have you ever seen the effects of EEG using the SPECT?
Oh, it's actually, Dr. Sternman's wonderful, and I know him well, and doing EEG biofeedback, which you're describing, is actually, I did that for a long time, and that's how it led me to the brain imaging work that I currently do.
Oh, that's good.
So I like it a lot, and I've actually done scans of people before and after EEG biofeedback and find that it can be very helpful.
Wow. We have a lot of terrific phone calls that are coming in here. We go to the phones, if you don't mind, Dr. Amen.
Sure.
Christine in Marina Del Rey, do you have a question for Dr. Daniel Amen?
Hi, yes. Good afternoon. I wanted to know if a man or woman is having a wandering eye, if it is a nutritional deficiency, how long after you diagnose that does it take for the nutrition to kick in?
If you have a wandering eye and it's very upsetting to your partner and you can't stop, I would think there would be low activity in the prefrontal cortex. Because you have less empathy and you can't stop your behavior. Think of the prefrontal cortex as the major brake in the brain. If a nutritional intervention is going to be very helpful for you, within a week or so, you'll begin to see benefit of it and less of that behavior.
What type of nutrition can be helpful? And thank you very much for your call, Christine.
Thank you.
What type of nutrition can be helpful?
Well, one of the things that we found for this part of the brain in particular is a high-protein, low-carbohydrate diet. Of all things, something like the Atkins diet is an amazing energy concentration diet for people. Now, if you have something like ADD, it can be very helpful for you. If you have OCD, obsessive-compulsive disorder, this is where you can't stop thinking about bad things, and you go on a concentration diet, you concentrate more on the things that bother you, and you become more irritable. And so that's why I think we have to target a person's diet and their nutritional supplements to their individual brain, not one size fits everyone.
Fascinating. All right, let's go back to the phones. Maricela in Los Angeles, do you have a question for Dr. Amen?
Hi, my name is Maricela, and I'm a veteran who's dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder due to a sexual assault. And I was wondering, how does that affect my sexual drive as dealing with that aspect of my...
Great question.
I'm sorry, you said you're a veteran and you've had post-traumatic stress disorder?
Yes. Due to a sexual assault.
Due to a sexual assault. When people have a traumatic stress, it completely changes their brain. The emotional centers in their brain light up and become much more active, too active. And so they can worry, they can be anxious, they can have more vulnerability to depression. And calming that down, and we've actually seen that calming that down through a certain kind of psychotherapy called EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing.
Really?
But if you look up EMDR on the web, you'll find that it's a very effective treatment for PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder.
Wow.
And we published a study a couple of years ago on police officers who had PTSD secondary to shootings, and this kind of psychotherapy all by itself made a huge positive difference in the brains of and the lives of our patients. Now, being traumatized sexually can have a huge negative impact on your ability to trust and your ability to get close. And whenever somebody touches you, it's like you begin to relive that trauma. And so getting it treated properly can really enhance your love life.
EMDR is it's eye movement. What is that called again?
Desensitization and reprocessing. It's a wonderful treatment for people who have had emotional trauma.
Is it a psychotherapy?
It is. It's a form of psychotherapy. So no medicine, no supplements. Just,
right.
And it's a fast form of psychotherapy in that within sometimes one session, sometimes, you know, 8 or 9 sessions, it can just make a huge difference for people.
Very interesting. I've interviewed people about that before, and it seemed almost too good to be true, because you really can reverse or correct the effects of sexual trauma very fast. And
very
that is
fast.
Fascinating
and
to know.
Otherwise,
how
it just lives in your brain. And
mm-hmm.
it's like the trauma keeps vibrating in the nerve centers in your brain. And after EMDR, for many people, it just calms it down.
Well, great. Thank you very much for your phone call, Maricela. You answered a lot of questions there. Let's see, going to Betty in Torrance. Betty, do you have a question for Dr. Daniel Amen?
Hi, yes, regarding the ancient art of belly dancing and the eroticism of it. I happened to watch a video, and just watching the hand movements isolated was just mesmerizing, and it was very stimulating. And I was wondering if you could comment on that.
Well, given I'm Lebanese, that's my heritage. Belly dancing has been part of my life for a long time. And it's the visual stimulation that really captures guys. 50% of our brain has to do with vision. And, you know, when you get us attracted to you in that way, it's totally a turn-on.
Okay.
For us. So
that validates that. Thank you very much for your phone call. All right. Sergio in Los Angeles, you have a question for Dr. Daniel Amen.
Hi, good program. Thank you. I was going to ask you if you have any brain pattern for autism, kids with autism.
Actually, we were just talking about that here in our clinic. We've done many children and adults with autism. We're just getting ready to publish a study on adults with autism. And what we find is they have a very different brain than healthy brains. What we see is significant decreased activity in the back half of the brain. And the back half of the brain is the part of your brain that brings the world in, that allows you to perceive others and their intentions accurately. And when the back half of your brain doesn't work well, you get confused a lot, especially in social interactions. We've also seen that the front part of the brain works too hard in people that have autism, so they tend to be rigid and inflexible, and they worry, and if things don't go a certain way, that they get really upset. And so working to balance their brains can be very important.
And you can do that through this. That's a fascinating question. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
And then I just want to get to one more person. Anna in Newport Beach, do you have a question for Dr. Amon?
Yes. Thank you for your great program today, Lisa. And Dr. Amon, my question has to do with women such as myself who are in a menopausal phase and have chosen to take bioidentical hormones. At the point at which I embarked on that journey, I was having fabulous results, feeling better in every way, and all my symptoms were relieved. However, several months into the program, I began having migraine headaches approximately every 2 days, and I had them with both a prodromal, the aura phase, and it was putting me out of commission for 2 days. So I had to stop the hormones. Can you tell me if that's associated with the brain in some way where we could discover something that could be helpful and yet return to a modified form of hormones perhaps?
Well, I would try B2, so vitamin B2, 400 milligrams, sometimes has been found to be really helpful to break migraine headaches. Now, usually it's the opposite, that, you know, we have headaches when we're younger, and as women go through menopause, they become less. Probably by taking the bioidentical hormones, it puts your body in a more youthful state and then triggered the headaches. But I like bioidentical hormones, and I think many women, as they go through menopause, the low estrogen levels lead to lower brain function, and that's why they get brain fog and also higher risks of anxiety and depression. So replacing them can be helpful, but if you have side effects, you know, they might try different types, different brands, to see if it's not something in the hormones, you know,
so
a filler
or something individualized
that's causing the trouble for you.
All right. Thank you very much for your phone call.
Thank
now,
you.
Well, it's always fascinating speaking with you. Thank you so much for sharing this great information with us today.
Oh, anytime. I love being on your show.
I like it too. And I love your motto, change your brain, change your life. The more you understand about your brain and your body, the more that you can have the life that you want. So thanks for contributing to that conversation. All right, well, we'll talk to you very soon.
Okay, thank you.
I'll be right back. This is Lisa Gar. You're listening to Aware.